and that may concern us tomorrow. And Lord, we have a chance to focus in on your word. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would do his precious work in our lives. May our hearts be open and pliable for the working of your word and your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this view that you and I have of Christmas with the turkey and the stuffing and all the fixings certainly is enjoyable, but certainly off track from where our Lord would have our hearts and minds during this Thanksgiving season. Scripture says in verse number 18, without apology, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So certainly our Father, our Lord, would gather our hearts and gather our minds to be focused in on giving thanks to God. And we say this without apology as well. God expects thanksgiving. And we can say that without reservation. Our Lord, our God, expects a thankful spirit from our hearts. Now, how many of you were raised with a mom and dad that would coach you all the time when you needed to say thank you to somebody? Did you live in that environment? I did. I can remember several instances where my father and my mother would literally stop life. And imagine this. I'm in junior high, and my father and my mother want me to write a thank you note to somebody. And as a junior high boy, I'm thinking, nobody needs to hear from me a little thank you note. And but I can remember my father literally asking me, not asking me, he was demanding. He'd say, Robert, sit down at the kitchen table. I want you to write a thank you note for the folks that gave you whatever it was. And at the time, my spirit was not good. I would just write out the thank you note, thank you for this or that. And I would, you know, hand it back over to my mom, asking her to deliver it. Or maybe she'd put it in the mail. And now, guess what? Guess what I like to have my kids do? You know, maybe the cards are not appropriate these days. I mean, there's a bunch of card people here for sure. But I'll often say, why don't you write a text? Maybe give a call. Maybe send a Snapchat or something. Just say thank you for somebody who has served you or have taken care of you. Literally just do that. But God expects our thanksgiving as well. I want you to look back, and in fact, you can turn there to Luke chapter 17. In fact, let's do that tonight. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11 and following. This is the story of the 10 lepers as they were healed. In verse number 11, it says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And then fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now, I enjoy reading through this passage of Scripture. I enjoy looking and admiring the strength of our Savior. And I actually admire the one leper that turned around and literally looked at his present condition and was moved with gratitude and moved with thanksgiving, where he literally did a turnabout, sought his healer, and gave a verbal thank you. In fact, with a loud voice, said thank you. And I almost envision it this way, as the lepers are probably congregated together, the 10 of them. And they, obviously you know this, they were to be separated from the common folks. And as they were together, would call out to the Savior, call out to God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And the healer admired them. And he says, I want you guys to go show yourself to the priests. And with nothing to lose, right? They turn and they begin their journey to head to the priest. And as they're walking and as they're going, imagine if you will with me, them looking at their forearms and their hands and quite possibly their legs and maybe their chest or their abdomen going, hey, listen, something just changed. Literally, something just changed on my body. Things are different. And a couple more steps. Hey, are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? Do you see what's happening to us? Like, we're being healed. It's leaving. And one solitary gentleman decides to make the transition and depart from his friends and heads back to the Savior. And with a very loud voice says this, Lord, thank you. Now, we can do a comparative analysis between leprosy and our sin. But let's face the facts. Our sin is much grosser, much more ugly than an individual who has leprosy. And you know what our Savior has done for us, correct? He's washed us whiter than snow. He's taken care of our sin. In fact, he died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Would it not be good for us personally to head back to our Savior to say, Lord, you remember me, Bob. I want to say thank you. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for washing me as white as snow. Lord, thank you. I want to challenge you this Thanksgiving season to absolutely do that. Here's just one illustration, and no doubt, almost every pastor, as Thanksgiving draws closer and closer, will probably give reference to the lepers, and this one in particular. Also, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, Scripture lets us know this, that you and I are supposed to give thanks for absolutely all things. Now, how many of you, if you could, now we wouldn't rewrite Scripture on purpose for sure, but how many of you would actually enjoy for it to say, give thanks in some things, and the things that you don't like, you don't have to say thank you and you don't have to be thankful for. Let's be honest. There are some things that we struggle being thankful for, correct? How many of you, and I may ask this a couple times tonight, how many of you, now you could admit this, it's just us here tonight, would say, Bob, I'm a pretty good complainer. I do all right. I can hold my own. I can complain about stuff. Does anybody like that at all? Okay, one person, thank you for your honesty. Praise the Lord. There's a couple. I'm just goofing around. So we almost have the gift of complaining. If something is not the way that we want it, well, we can verbalize that. Some of you are so gifted in complaining, it may be your spiritual gift. No, I'm just kidding. But you're good at it. You almost have a PhD. You can complain about really anything. Just give me a little time and I'll figure out something to complain about. But here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, Scripture lets us know that you and I are supposed to give thanks for all things. And we'll develop this in just a second. Also in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, Scripture says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and will always find tied into the theme of thanksgiving the fact that you and I need to do this on a daily or continual basis. It's something that needs to be repeated and rehearsed and brought up and thought through. Now, God expects thanks, but I want to take it a step farther. God expects continual thanksgiving, even under difficult circumstances. How many of you here tonight, just by the upraised hand, would say, Bob, again, it's just us here tonight. How many of you would say, I'm going through what could be categorized as some difficulty right now? Anybody going through something like that tonight? I'm going to raise both my hands. I'm going to raise one for you too, okay? I think all of us share in some sort of difficulty. There's something that's not going perfect. It's not going well. things could be better. And if you could design them, things would be much smoother, or it could be a bigger blessing. So if things are not going well, do you and I have the spiritual maturity to let God know, Lord, even though things are not ideal, not the way that I would have designed them, I want to let you know that I'm thankful because you are in control and you know what's best. You know, simplistically, it's good for us to do that. To let our Lord know, no matter what the season, no matter what the circumstance, dear Lord, I realize that you're in control and I'm going to be thankful in all seasons, in all circumstances. And that which you've given me to accomplish, that which you've given me to struggle through, that which you've given to me as a challenge. You know, one of the biblical characters that I admire most as far as this is concerned is Paul. Paul knew how to live a thankful life. In fact, he had this dialed in and was operating well in this situation. You know, back in Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And I kind of view things this way, and just have an illustrative mind this way, but Paul and Silas are in prison. And the scripture says, at midnight, Paul and Silas decide to start singing. And I can imagine Paul, you know, kind of nudging Silas, going, hey, there's a bunch of guys in here, but do you have a favorite you'd like to sing right now? And Silas says, Paul, I don't know if you know this, but it's midnight. We're supposed to be maybe asleep or maybe doing something else. And he says, no, let's sing. Let's be joyful. There's a reason that we have. And so they do. And if you spend some time in this portion of scripture in Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, it lets us know at the end of that verse that there were other prisoners that heard them singing. There was a testimony. And might I mention this to you tonight, that your continual thanksgiving will reach others? It's okay to say amen. It'll be all right. It is a fact that your thanksgiving will reach others. Other people will notice. Other people will be thankful as well. Paul found it also the case while he was in prison. Not only did he decide to sing, but he thought, hey, ideal situations, not so much, but I'm going to start writing. I'm going to write the prison epistles. And you know what? I'm going to be able to affect generations and folks years to come. I'm going to affect Christianity with my writings. And here's what happened to Paul. No matter what his circumstances were, he recognized that God was constantly in control. And he gave him thanks. Paul also, because he was so in tune with being able to live a thankful life, was able to encourage people and share the gospel amidst circumstances that were difficult and not ideal. I want to give you four quick reasons why you and I need to thank God continually. That this is not the message. It's just a mini message within the message. But I think that these are precious and I think they're valuable. Number one, four quick reasons why you and I need to be thankful to God continually. Number one is this, and that God is with us. He's with us. You know that tonight, as we open up scripture and as we prayed and as we invited Christ to meet with us, his spirit tonight can do a work in my life and he can do a work in your life as well. How about tomorrow when you venture off to work? Are you excited about the fact that the Lord is near you? He's and his presence is near? I mean, that's something really to be excited about. It's something to be thankful for. You going through a difficulty or a trial tomorrow? Know this and be thankful for this. The Lord is with you. He'll never leave your side. Number two, another reason to be continually thankful, and that's this. He is for us. He is on our side. He is for us. He is not only cheering for us, he is living for us. He is mediating for us on a daily basis. So we could be thankful continually. He's with us. He is for us. And he loves us. Anybody here excited about the fact that Jesus, our Savior, our God, is in absolute love with you and I tonight? And he's made a decision to do that. It's not based on our performances. It's not whether or not I'm a good guy this Wednesday that the Lord says, all right, Bob, you're good. You're in my favor now. Now I love you. It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ made a decision. Our God made a decision in that while we were yet sinners, he made a decision to love us. Now, that's pretty heavy. A reason for you and I to be thankful continually, he's with us. He's for us. He loves us. Now, this, if this audibly gets you involved in tonight's devotional, I'm all right with this, okay? And here's, I think, a substantive point. He is in control of everything. At the end of the day, the fact that God is with us is great. The fact that he's for us, he's on our side, he's not only cheering for us, he's mediating for us, he is strengthening us, and that he loves us. He made a decision to do that regardless of our performance. Number four, he's in control of absolutely everything. There have been plenty of times in your life and in my life where we've kind of scratched our head and we've thought, what in the world is going on here? Have you ever had one of those days where you're like, is anything going to go right today? Like just one little itsy bitsy thing, I'd like for it to go right. And you pray and you say, Lord, a little bit of a struggle today. I know you're here. I know you know everything. But Lord, I have to let you know, I'm so glad that you're in control. I'm so glad you know what's going on tomorrow. I'm so glad you know what's going on right now, too. Some of us wake up and we worry about what's going on for the rest of our day. You may pop out of bed tomorrow morning and just say, oh, well, I don't know. I've got so much on my plate and I'm nervous about this and I'm nervous about that and this is going on. And can I just share with you some simplistic fact, and that is that God is in absolute control. Maybe something's weighing you down. Maybe you have something that you've been struggling with long term. Maybe a difficulty. Do you acknowledge the fact that God is still in control of this? And that he can, as he wants to, move as he will. He can do anything. He's our God. So is there a reason for you and I to be continually thankful? Yes, there sure is. He's with us. He's for us. He loves us. He's in absolute control of everything. You know, we talked just a little bit previously to this about complaining. And that literally is the opposite of giving thanks. Sometimes I don't know if I'm the only person that experiences this, but I'd just say a couple people in my life that I already know. It could be the best day in the world. For sure, they're not having a good day. I mean, they haven't had a good day since 1978, for sure. Like nothing's going on that's good. And usually they kind of wear a frown on their face, and usually they're not cheery. Usually they're griping or complaining about something. They're murmuring, as Scripture says, and almost infectiously, when you get around somebody like that. You can find stuff to complain about too. Or maybe you say, well, you're right. That's right. I'm going to complain about this too. Do you know the opposite of that is Thanksgiving? And you can have the same infectious response upon somebody. I have had people, and this is not my nature. I'm not cheery, cheery, cheery like all the time. But I did have somebody come up to me a couple years ago. And some aspects about my job are very difficult, and some of them a lot of stress, that type of thing. And I had an individual come up to me, and he said, "Hey, why are you always in a good mood?" And I said, "Who in the world are you talking about? Like, I'm not in a good mood all the time." He said, "Oh, yeah, you are. Like, whatever the problem is, you always think that there's a great solution to that." I said, "Well, I don't really know. Like, maybe your perception is okay, but like the big picture is that I'm just letting my life and my days rest in my Savior's hands. Like, He controls everything." It was just a simple time that I had to share the gospel just a wee bit. But literally, you, in the presence of other people, can be thankful. And how many of you have been around somebody that is thankful all the time? Do you have anybody in that that is kind of like that in your presence? Like, literally, it does not matter. It could be blowing snow sideways in November, and they're still having a good day. They're ready to go out and conquer the world. Boy, today's a great day. God's in control. I can't wait to get the day started. And you think, oh, you've had too much coffee this morning. What's going on? But literally, no matter what season of the day, no matter what season of their life, this individual has found time to thank God for absolutely everything that's going on in their life. And usually those people we like to get close to, because we know that they have a spiritual maturity about their life. Things may not be perfect. Things may be difficult. They may be struggling uphill. They may have insurmountable odds that they are dealing with right now. But they also realize that God's powerful. And they serve a very loving God. And they give thanks to Him for that. I want to let you know that you can have an effect on other people, just like Paul and Silas did. Your thankfulness is infectious. It can happen. I have a short story for you. Back in 2008, our particular line of business was not doing too well. We are very affected by the real estate ups and downs, our businesses. And everybody knows what happened back in 2007, 8, and 9. The market just plummeted, crashed. And I can remember, I don't get too nervous about stuff too often, but I remember thinking to myself, man, I have no idea what's going to happen. We employ a lot of people, and so I'm thinking, where are all these people going to find work, their jobs, their families, their kids, all this stuff. And I just began to pray. I began to see our segment of the market like just dissipate. Things were not going as they had been for the previous 10 years. And I found myself praying. And I almost found myself worrying just a little bit, like trying to control the situation. And then I catch myself and I say, "Lord, you know what? Listen, I realize you're in control. I realize that you have all things worked out to your glory, my benefit. I get this. But Lord, I cannot see what's going on around the corner." Have you ever been in that position before? It's not a pleasant, you know, not a pleasant time. And so you're there and you're trusting in God, and already you're beginning to pray, "Lord, thank you for your work, even though I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't sense it. I don't know what's going on. But Lord, I know you, and I know how you've worked in my life in the past, and I know that you haven't changed. So, Lord, I thank you for what's coming up in the seasons ahead." And I'll make this story very, very short because it's something memorable for me. And as I began to have the weight of this on my shoulders, and as I prayed, I had an idea. I thought, you know what, the homes that we service all the time, they're going to be in somebody's hands, so how about I just swim upstream, contact the people who are now taking care of these properties, and I'll just work for them. So I did. I swam upstream like really, really hard, contacted the government, Housing and Urban Development, flew to Atlanta, made some contacts, sat down. They said, "Hey, Bob, here's what you do. We need you to fill out this form, fill out this contact sheet. There's a contract that's coming up. Here's everything that you need. I came home. I told my wife. I said, hey, listen, I think this could be really big. God's going to answer a huge prayer request. Now all I have to do is get this contract. So I sat down in my office 2 weeks straight. I was a hermit. I made out this contract. I rewrote it several times. I had it revised. I sent it in. I made it past the first round, second round, third round, up to the final round. And I was waiting for the results of this contract. And I thought, Lord, I can just see the writing on the wall. You have been so gracious and so kind leading me to this position. And Lord, thank you so much. As the business that I knew of, as it is not doing well, Lord, I can see how you're going to provide. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So the day of the contract reveal was a Tuesday. I had worked literally probably 150 hours on this paperwork, sent it in. Everything was going well, positive feedback. The day that the contract was revealed, somebody else got it. I looked at my computer screen and I thought, no, I'm not really following this. I don't know if you remember the game plan, Lord, but I was supposed to get this contract and everything was supposed to be smooth sailing. And I sat in my office for a while, like stunned, just stunned that things didn't go the way that I wanted them to go. I walked outside. My wife knew exactly what was going on. She knew the contract reveal that morning. And I said, well, a company down in Florida got the contract. And my wife, she's like the Holy Spirit a lot. She says this, well, thank the Lord. And like in my Christian immaturity, I'm scratching my head going, why would you thank the Lord? Like this is something that we, like I was hoping we could really like do well. And so I just took it at face value and turned around, went back into the office and had prayed and said, Lord, I know that you know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that I'm thankful for you and you've got all this designed. So maybe you have something else. And I was a little discouraged that I spent 150 hours trying to handcraft this. I thought it was going to do well. But I said, Lord, it's in your hands. That's absolutely fine. And so I just went about daily life, said, well, Lord, maybe, you know, maybe you're going to provide another way. And Lord, I'd love to keep everybody on board. Love to keep this thing working, but you're in charge. I don't know what's going on, but you're in charge. And I remember about 2 days later, I got a phone call from Florida, from the people who got the contract. And they said, hey, we need somebody to work in Illinois. And I said, guess what? I live in Illinois, and I can do the work. And they said, oh, whew. I'm glad because we're a hot mess down here in Florida, and we have no idea what's going on. I said, well, okay, I'll be able to help out. And literally for the next 2 years, this is the way that God provided for me in this fashion. Didn't do it the way that I wanted him to do it. Didn't do what I thought was going to happen. In fact, there was a season in there that I thought, and I don't know if you've ever been there spiritually before. I don't know how to translate that in the Greek, but it's just exhaustion. It's just like, what is going on here? And then the Lord opens up the door and he lets you know, hey, I've had this taken care of the entire time. I just didn't tell you, but I want you to be thankful. And so then, I don't know if you know about this and what happens to Christians, but the day that the Lord had that phone call come in from Florida, and I sat back down in my office and I said, I see what you're doing. And I see you took all the weight off of my shoulders and you gave me the work that I needed. And Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you once again. Even though I didn't design it, you designed it and it was 10 times better. So I want to let you know that thankfulness is expected by God. Thankfulness is expected continually. In Ephesians chapter 5, in fact, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll make a reading and then we'll move on. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, scripture says this. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God of sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you, as it become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. But what does your scripture say there? It says, but rather giving of thanks. Now, the Lord has specifically instructed us, given us clear instruction to give thanks, to be immersed in it. In fact, if you turn back the same chapter, Ephesians 5, verse number 20, you and I are supposed to give thanks always, always, always in all things. And no matter how you want to interpret it, no matter what language you speak, you and I must be thankful. It is a command. Be thankful in all things. And though it may not be easy, I will tell you this confidently, God knows exactly what's going on. And there's a reason for you and I to be thankful. Now back here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we're acquainted with the verses that we read earlier. And I want to leave you with three simple commands that will change the world around you. Don't miss what I just said. Three simple commands that will change the world around you. You and I have different worlds for sure. They may be small worlds. My world is my family. My world is church here, communing with Marquette Manor Baptist Church. My world oftentimes is the Christian school, communing with children or being at sporting events. My world is business or clients. Your world is different, but it is very much the same. Maybe students. It may be clients. It's something different. It's work associates. But I will tell you this, God gives us three simple commands that will change, literally change our world. The first one is this, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Literally rehearse, review, go through God's goodness. Make it a practice to maintain your joy. Protect it. There are some things that can rob. There are some things that can steal your joy. Number one of them is selfishness. I don't know if you're good at this. A lot of people are. One thing that will steal your joy is just pure selfishness, being focused on you rather than God and others. Number two, another thing that will steal your joy is doubt. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't have control. I want control. And then thirdly, one thing that'll steer your joy is unconfessed sin. Now let me stop here for a second, put on a parking brake just for a bit. Literally, unconfessed sin will steal, will rob you of your joy. It's needed, it's demanded, commanded that you and I confess our sins, forsake them. Let the Lord put them as far as the east is from the west. In fact, Scripture says if you confess your faults, he will push them aside. Remember them no more. Can I ask you tonight, just in a friendly gesture, a friendly question, have you been toying around with unconfessed sin? Things that need to go. Things that only you know about. Things that you have been playing with for a long time that should be nowhere in your life. Things that you respond to. Maybe it's a response. Maybe it's an activity or an action or an obligation that you've neglected. Friend, I'll tell you, one thing will steal your joy, and it'll steal your joy absolutely every single time, and that's unconfessed sin. Might I encourage you tonight, or when we close in prayer, as you bow your head and as you close your eyes, to confess your faults to your Savior. Lay them at his feet. In fact, if you struggle with remembering, God is really good at bringing to your memory if you ask him, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Lord, I realize today I reacted the wrong way. That wasn't good. Lord, is there anything else in my life that really needs attention, really needs help? I don't know if you've ever done this before, but there is no hesitation on God's behalf to let you know what needs to be dealt with. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 11. Would you turn there just briefly with me? We're just about ready to slow down and land this tonight. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 11 says this. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. At my very, very first church that I was at, I came right out of college. And I went to a church in Newark, Ohio, 30 miles east of Columbus. And it was my wife's home church. It was called the Newark Baptist Temple. And I served under a great man. I love him. I love him. He's in heaven now. His name is James Dennis. Just a great, great, great pastor. So enjoyed my time there with him. It was a great mentor for me and others alike. And during the services, Pastor Dennis, the pulpit was just a little bit smaller than this, but he would literally take his arms on the pulpit. Like, I can't spread that wide. And he would take the pulpit and he would shake it back and forth. He would preach so hard, he would literally shake the pulpit. And I thought, oh, Pastor, that don't come unglued. I mean, he was preaching hard, he was preaching good. And then out of the clear blue sky, this would always scare me to death. So my pastor's father-in-law was an old Pentecostal preacher. And he'd sit up on the front row right there. We call him Grandpa Robinson. Now, Grandpa Robinson said not too many words. I would go up to Grandpa Robinson, I'd shake his hand, say, hey, Grandpa Robinson, how you doing today? And he'd just do one of these things. I really wouldn't even say any words. But I got to tell you, when Pastor Dennis started preaching, started moving that pulpit, started shaking, a little bit of a Pentecostal attitude would come out of the front pew. And this man of very few words would shout at the top of his lungs. In fact, they called it a yip. So he would just yip like really loud. And I would sit always up in the front row right here during the messages. And literally, it was so loud, like you would just shake in your seat. And it was already loud to begin with, but he made it even louder. How many of you find it okay to shout at ball games? You guys like cheering at ball games? So I don't have any problem cheering at ball games. I love yelling and screaming and cheering for the players. In fact, just this past couple weeks, we went to the state tournament. Got to see all the girls play volleyball, all the guys play soccer. I had absolutely no trouble yelling whatsoever. And in fact, I liked it. Cheering for the guys, they'd score a goal, and you know what? Time to start yelling and screaming and cheering. And I'm not promoting this. I'm not suggesting this. I'm just trying to draw a comparison tonight. Would it be okay for us to be so excited about what God's doing in our lives that we would let out just a little bit of excitement at work, just a little bit of excitement in the classroom, just a little bit of excitement at church, and let other people know, hey, listen, I got to be honest with you, I'm pretty thankful for what God's done for me. Even that's a little excited, right? Or coming up to a work associate and things don't look good and you say, hey, I got some good news. I got some good news. What's that? I serve a risen Savior, and he's at work in my life. Everything's going to be fine. I think that you and I should give God thanks continually. In fact, Scripture says this, rejoice evermore, and then it says pray without ceasing. Now listen, this is a message in and of itself. I'm going to condense it super quick-like. I invite you tonight to a closer walk with our Savior. I invite you tonight to daily commune with him, to pray daily, to keep that open dialogue with our Savior. May it be continual. Friend, on a serious level, it makes sense for you and I to pray on a daily basis. It makes sense for us to pray continually. It makes sense for us to praise Him while we pray. It makes sense while we deliver our petitions to our Savior to clothe them with thanksgiving. Lord, I want to pray for so-and-so, but I want to let you know I am already thankful for the answered prayer. Lord, I want to pray for this gentleman over here who's going through a difficult time, but Lord, already I want to thank you for answering that prayer request. I want to thank you for sharing the blessings that they don't even know about yet. Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, for this difficult circumstance that I'm dealing with at work, Lord, already I want to be thankful to you because I know you've got it all worked out. I'm scared, but I know you're in control. So I want to give you thanks and I want to pray. You see, that's where you and I seek wisdom. That's where we turn. That's where you and I gain strength. That's where we secure hope. That's where we get guidance and we get peace for our lives. And then finally, in verse number 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks." The Lord says, "Hey, listen, there's one thing that I'll promise you, and that's this. You're going to have trouble in this world." Scripture lets us know that. He also gives us a promise that we can have victory as we rest in His arms. What halts or hinders or sidetracks or stops this in our life? As I mentioned before, let me reintroduce this to you. It's our selfishness. It's you and I being self-centered and not God-centered. It's being doubtful, wanting to control things. And before I wrap up today, you and I, we all struggle with wanting to control things, right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You can just give me a little smile if you want to. It is really comfortable controlling things, right? Have you ever taught somebody in your, like, we're all adults here. Maybe you've taught people how to drive, like maybe your son or daughter. That is just a classic illustration. You're teaching your son or daughter how to drive, and all you really want to do is hold that steering wheel for them. Now, we have a manual transmission car at our house, and I have taken all of our daughters over to the parking lot over here. And by the way, we have done zero burnouts. I see them in the parking lot, but it was not us, for sure. And I teach the girls how to drive manual transmission. And there's not a time that I just don't want to, like, I'm verbalizing stuff all the time, but I just want to be in control. And I remember the first time I told Gabby, I said, "Hey, let's drive home." And she looks over at me and she's like, "What? On real roads?" "Yes, we're going to do that. You're going to drive a manual transmission all the way back to our house." And she says, "There are stoplights." "I know. I know. We're going to get through this." Now, we got back safely and unharmed, and everything was great. She did a great job going back. But you understand how important control is to us, right? And how it makes us feel comfortable. I want to encourage you. True thankfulness is when you push control over to God and you say, "Lord, I know you're in control. I know you've got the best, and I'm already thankful for it." Let me mention this, and we'll shut down for this evening. And that is this: thankfulness is the will of God. It is. Thankfulness is a choice. Thankfulness is a healer. It's a restorer. It's an encourager. It's a strengthener. It's a shield. It's a defender. It does for us in our spiritual lives more than we give credit for. It changes people's lives. People notice it. They admire it. They wonder how you and I serve a God that has it all together and has everything in complete control. You know, this Thanksgiving season, as the weeks draw closer, no doubt our dear pastor is going to be delivering some Thanksgiving messages. No doubt he's going to encourage us to focus our attention on how good God has been in the past and in the present and will be in the future. I want to challenge you to begin to bathe and soak your hearts in God's thankfulness. And to keep this spirit about you, not just for a day, in November, not just for the month of November, not just for a couple weeks as we approach Thanksgiving, but make it a lifestyle. It really does make a difference in your life and in the lives of those who are around you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day, and we're thankful for the time that you've given to us tonight. We ask your care now as we open up and head into our prayer time. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us and guide us. And Lord, may we have a thankful spirit about us, not only today, not only this month, but in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.